Well, good evening and God's peace to all of you. I want to welcome you here this opening Friday of Reformation. Also, those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. We have Brother Caleb Maunu from, he's from Hancock, Michigan now, originally from the West Coast here, but Caleb and Sherry and their youngest, we're happy that they were able to join us. Thought it was interesting, a little note, 7 years ago, and we know that God has complete numbers, but 7 years ago today, Brother Jim Maunu was serving us. We had a pastor lined up for the weekend, and he had to cancel at the last minute, and so I thought it was pretty interesting that Caleb would be here to be able to share the same message, the special message of the gospel that our God has continually provided for us. Let's open our service with song number 371, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's give thanks and pray. Gracious Father, we come before you once again in the name that has been given above every name, that name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give thanks, Father, that even tonight as we gather together, as we look to the promises that you have supplied, that your faithfulness has been great, that you have continued to bring to us that message of the gospel that you have provided when you sent your Son into this world to bring for us what we could not do for ourselves. When he came willingly to bear our sins upon the cross of Calvary, when he arose victorious over the grave, and when he ascended into heaven to sit upon your right hand, your faithfulness has been on display. And so we thank you, Father, that even tonight we can gather in fellowship, that we can do so in a country that we are without fear of reprisal, that we can continue to proclaim this message of the gospel. And we know, Father, that it has been in many cases that freedom has been taken away, and yet that gospel has not been taken away. Your word has prevailed. And so it is that which we lean upon today, Father, that faithfulness that has been through all generations. And we pray, Father, that even tonight as we gather, that this word would come to our hearts, that it would bring that message of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. We pray, Father, for the many in the world that struggle with the difficulties of the times, with, you know, the medical issues, with the spiritual issues, with the things that afflict this body that we have. And yet we know, Father, that your love is so great that it can overcome all things. It can bring to us that calm and that peace that Christ Jesus has procured for us. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would be among us even tonight, that it would work first within our brother's heart, that you would bring to him that powerful message of the gospel, that it would come forth with the power and the unction of the Spirit, that we might, as hearers, be willing to hear, not because of our own volition, but because you, by your Spirit, have stirred within our hearts that desire to hear and to know this work, which is the work of Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, for this weekend as we gather once again and in fellowship around this time of Reformation. We know, Father, that it is your desire that your children would be gathered together to declare your glory and your praise, to sing unto you the praise and honor that is all yours. And so now hear us, Father, as we pray that prayer that Jesus himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to continue with song number 193. O Master, let me walk with thee. Number 193.
Thank you.
it's good to see so many of you come on this Friday. I know Friday night is a difficult time to get to the north end of Seattle, and yet you have braved the traffic, and we are thankful for that. It is a special gift to us to see so many that have had roots here, have had a time spent here as part of this congregation, and I know that this congregation has blessed so many. We are thankful for that gift that God supplies through his work in our hearts, and that's really where I believe that finds its residence, isn't it? That it is God's word that supplies to us. For tonight, I'm going to read from Psalm 27, and that is found on page 438 in the Pew Bible. I'm going to read the entirety of that psalm. That's Psalm 27, beginning with verse 1, and we read this in Jesus' name. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise up against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. You know, we know the struggles that David had, and you know, David's struggles were perhaps magnified because he was the king of a nation, but each one of us struggle with different things, don't we? And yet we have a God who knows us intimately, and we're thankful for that. You know, I believe that's the blessing we have in gathering around the Word, is that we can turn unto our God and we can ask of Him, Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. You know, this Word, as David proclaimed in the 119th Psalm, that thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. May it be that light and that lamp to our pathway even this weekend and each and every day of our lives. To Him be all honor, glory, power and dominion. Amen. We're going to continue with song number 155, and then Brother Caleb is going to bring the message. Number 155.
Thank you. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a great pleasure, and we feel very blessed to be able to gather with you all this weekend. My wife Sherry and daughter Freya were able to come with me, fortunately, and our three children at home were, while disappointed would be an understatement to say that they wanted to also come along. And they kept telling me and reminding me that, you know, they haven't been able to spend time in Seattle and trying to give me some reason to bring them. But as it is, they're busy with school. And so be greeted from our youngest children. I also bring special greetings from Chuck Bilkis and also from Jay Widener at the Interlutheran Seminary. For today's scripture reading, we are going to turn to the first chapter of John, and we are going to read the first 27 verses. That's page 778 in your pew Bibles, the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 27. Reading in the name of our Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then art thou, Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ? Nor Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I am not worthy to unloose. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. This word is truth. Sanctify us in this truth, today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John is very interesting, and John has a very unique style and format compared to the other Gospels. But it doesn't lessen anything that John says, and in a way, sometimes it almost stands out more because he has a different way of speaking. Kind of like when we hear someone who talks different, or they maybe sound funny compared to how we're used to hearing people talk. We kind of pay attention a little bit more because a different accent is intriguing to us when we hear it differently. But we understand that that's just because of the style that someone is speaking. It doesn't change the effect of their words. Their words can still carry a lot of weight, and their word can have an effect on us, whether we hear something positive or something negative. These words are something we use every day naturally that we almost come to the point where we can take our words for granted until we see that maybe somebody pays us a compliment or somebody tells us that our words hurt them. Then it sometimes becomes aware to us that we should watch what and how we are saying things. And so often when we hear this word, we say that, well, it's something that I said or something that this person said. We don't automatically think that this word is Jesus Christ. This word that's spoken of here in John is not just something that we say, but it's something that we hear. It's something that we hear from God. It's His spoken word. And so just as we read in Genesis how in the beginning God created this, John starts this and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And we know that Paul, that's oft quoted where he says in Romans that faith comes by hearing. And we understand then that how important this word is. That it isn't just these letters on a page, but it is alive. And it becomes alive when we hear it, because as us in the body of Christ and as we minister this word, it becomes not just words that I say or words that Stan says or any other minister that we hear, but it becomes the living word because it has been spoken and it has come from God. Now, we often hear people add things to it. And when we start to add something to it or say something that we think it means, we understand that that is just something that we're adding to it. Because what we say can be wrong. What we say, we may be unsure of. And so sometimes, you know, when someone says, well, I'm not sure about that, we'll even maybe tell them, well, why don't you go look it up? Or you'll hear this term these days, fact check. But we understand that when we are speaking this word, this sure word, we don't need to tell someone, well, why don't you go look it up? Because we have confidence in it. Bonhoeffer in The Cost of Discipleship writes about how Jesus is not giving his disciples an unsure thing. He is giving them something very sure. He is giving them something with supreme authority when he sends them out. It isn't something that he just says, this may be useful for you. But when he gives them the word, they are going to be able to accomplish what he has sent them to do. And John continues, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And this is interesting how he says this, is comprehended it not, how it is translated in the English. And in Greek, it's almost kind of like the darkness doesn't get it, because the darkness can't take the light. There's no way that it can get it. And so we understand now that this light that he's speaking of isn't just this physical light we see, but it is this light of the world that will show the way for our salvation. It'll shine the way to the one who has come to save us. And he says then, and he defines now, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So we understand that John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John, the last of the Old Testament prophets, has come before now to give notice that Jesus is coming. And when we study this John, we understand that the John that we are going to hear of is not one who is of fine dress. He is not one who was well kept, and he didn't really fit all of the social norms that the higher class would have expected him to. But we see that when God is sending his word, he is not concerned about what somebody looks like. He's not concerned about what they sound like or possibly how they are dressed, because he knows how effective his word is. He knows that his word is going to get the job done, that his word that has come to save the souls of men is going to do it. It doesn't matter how we may measure the person delivering it by our human standards. And he says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so sometimes today we often may look at the world and think, well, they don't know. They don't know this man. They don't know this true light. But this is nothing new that we may have these thoughts and concerns. But we understand now that this is what John is writing of at this time. But now for us, we have this full word that we can pick up and share with the world. That in the time of him writing this, he was being given this word by the Holy Spirit. But for us now, we are able to take this word, this good news, and we are able to fill ourselves with it and fill others with it. And yet, he tells us how it is, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And I don't know if any of you have ever had that kind of a situation where you maybe are working on a job, and you show up and, you know, maybe you're the supervisor or your crew's there, but someone else is there and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? You can't be here. And you're like, wait a minute, I work here. You know, I do belong to be here. You know, like I'm the one who hired these guys or whatever. But yet, we kind of have this sense now where it's like, they don't even know who I am. You know, much less if you were to, say, come into your house and there was somebody there fixing something and they started telling you, hey, you can't come in here, the owner's not here. We'd quickly be trying to set them straight, you know. Hey, I own this house. This is my house. But now this one who has created the world has come into this world that was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His chosen people, that we understand as the Israelites, that even though they're his chosen people, they did not know him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so this amazing thing now, Jesus often refers to himself as the Son of Man, because it is true, he was born of the flesh. But he says this amazing thing about Jesus. John says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We often don't think of ourselves as sons of God and daughters of God, that we are children of the living God. We are his children, so he is our Father, even to them that believe on his name. That when we simply believe on his name, that we are his. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Because no matter how hard we try, and no matter what we may say, like, well, you know, we're going to figure this out. We're going to come up with a better system or a better way that we could be, that we can make sure that we could be saved, that we could, we're going to figure out a way to do it on our own. This is something that is just not possible for us to do. Because no matter what kind of effort or time or money that we would spend, by the will of man, this could not happen. And so we have this amazing three words at the end of this verse 13 where he says, but of God. He's basically saying anything that you can think of, because he says, nor will of the flesh, nor will of the man. But our greatest plans and our greatest ideas that we could come up with is not going to do it, but of God. God is the one who will do it. God is the one who has made our salvation secure. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This Word, this living Word, that when we read this and we hear it today, that this is this Word of God, now was made to be human. And it's not like God detached himself from it, or people try to come up with analogies that often just fall apart on themselves because eventually we realize it's just something that we made up, this analogy. No. God now says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ now has dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a lot of things that if you were to ask, if you were to take a poll and say, well, what should we say that he is full of? You know, we may say like, well, we'd come up with a lot of good words to add in there. But God, in his grace for us, he simply tells us full of grace and truth. That this is what Jesus is full of. Because he has come to give us this true word. And he comes with this grace. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. And it says, it's when we simply read that, it's like, how can he be before him and after him? But John has already answered that for us. John has already answered that where he says, in the beginning, about the Word. We have heard that already. And it's these words are just so wonderful. It's like, I always am like, well, we can go back and read him again. And go back and read the beginning of John again. Because it's this way that he testifies of this Word to us is just amazing. And so John says, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we understand now that this isn't just a couple words that we're saying, okay, we'll describe him this way. This is much more than that. For when we read through this Old Testament, we can become very aware of this law. And we start to realize that it becomes hard to even keep track of what all it says in the Old Testament that we need to do to adhere to this law. And so we kind of quickly run to say, let's deduce it down to the Ten Commandments, because that's a little easier to remember than what a lot of this law says. But yet Jesus Christ, when he comes, He simply tells us that it's love, because he says it's to love your neighbor and love God. And it's just incredible when you start to look then at those Ten Commandments, and it's like, I remember one time in my own folly, I tried to, well, is that actually the way it is? And you read through there, and yes, it is. That is how it is. That it's to love your neighbor and to love God. That he has made it this simple. And he says then, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Which is something, because we know that story where the serpent was lifted up and they had to look at that serpent to be healed. That they had to look upon it to see it and there would be this healing. And we know that this is like a picture of Jesus. But now Jesus Christ on the cross, in his agony on the cross, when he shed his blood on the cross, he was healing us for all time, once and for all. It isn't something that we have to go back now and figure out, well, how can I see this? I need to go and find the cross to look at it so I can now be saved. No, because he has come to us by his word. Because his word has this power in it now, this power to save that he is bringing to us. So when we hear this word, we know that this is Jesus coming to us. He is coming to us, and God has given us this gift of faith to believe in him. So it is not something that we need to run and do this journey to try to see now, this serpent that is lifted up. No, we know because the word testifies to this man, this Son of Man who went to that cross to shed his blood. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And it's very interesting, because as we read through the Gospels, you understand how often they are trying to figure out who Jesus is. Because when they hear this word, something doesn't seem right to them. It doesn't line up with their understanding of things. And they want it to make sense. They want him to answer to them. And so now John, being the forerunner of Christ, it's no surprise that he is going to be questioned. And John tells them the truth. He says, I am not the Christ. And they ask him then, are you Elias? And he says, I am not. And they says, are thou that prophet? And he says, no. And then they say to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? So they demand this answer for him. And it's like, you think there could be a lot of things that John the Baptizer could say to them that could make him sound very strong or make him sound like he has a lot of authority. But he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. Because we understand that our God doesn't need numbers to get something done. He doesn't need an army to do this. He says, I am the voice of one. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So you can see where, you know, when we ever were to face opposition and someone were to say, well, how many are there? We would never stop and think, well, there's one of me. There's one of us. I'll do it, you know. That is not what we would think. But with God, that is all he needs. Because this one of John the Baptizer was all he needed to prepare the way. And when Jesus Christ goes to that cross and makes the sacrifice, it is once and for all. It is one time that it is done. And it does not need to be done again. We don't need to try to put him back on that cross for any reason, because he has paid that price already. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. And so now John as they try to question him. They try to shift the focus onto why are you doing this way and why are you doing this way. John puts the focus back onto Jesus Christ. Because John says, there standeth one among you whom you know not. Which brings us right back to verse 10, where John, the evangelist, says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so now we hear John the Baptizer saying this to them. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. So here now we have John saying this about this one. He's telling them now who comes after him but is preferred before me. The one that he had spoke of before that was before him and after him. Which if we turn to 1 Peter 18, he says, Peter says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversion received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Peter testifies to this same thing about he who was foreordained before the foundation of the earth. Because God in his love had a plan for each of us to have this salvation. That Christ would be our Savior. That his precious blood would wash us and cleanse us. And so now, even though our flesh may be like grass, he says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word of the Lord, this word that John speaks of, that it will endure forever, that was there in the beginning. This word comes to us and we hear it. We hear God speak to us daily. You hear people sometimes say things like, well, you know, I wish God would speak to me. I just want to hear God one time. Every one of us has heard God tonight because this is his word. Every day that we hear his word is God speaking to us. If we're by ourselves and we pick up this word and you read it aloud, you're hearing his word, and his word is speaking to us. And his word is testifying to this one who came and dwelt amongst us. And he did not find favor on this earth. In the end, when he was on the cross, he was there alone. And we understand that it was the Father's plan for all of us. That now, the Word has accomplished what it needed to accomplish. It has saved us once and for all. So now, we can speak these words that Jesus said, because as he prays in the high priestly prayer that we are in him and he is in us. So as he says in Luke 19, verse 10, that for the Son of Man came to save the lost. That this is this Son of Man. This word came to be spoken to the lost so that all would be saved. Because God is a loving God who has sent the Good Shepherd to find us, to seek that who has gone astray and bring them home. He has done this work for us on the cross, and we can turn daily to His word and to see these promises that are true. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for this word that is Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for grafting us in to Your chosen people. We thank You for the many blessings that You give us today through Your word, and that You will give us tomorrow and for all eternity through Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we will sing song number 139, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
Thankful for this word. It is enough, isn't it? There's only one that could save and call us and draw us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that is the preaching of the gospel. We recognize that it isn't, you know, John recognized that full on, didn't he? That it wasn't of him. He states that explicitly. You know, and so it is that we desire to hear that word, that it isn't the one who utters the words. It is God who brings those words into our hearts. It is God who brings to us the power of the gospel message, that gift of life and salvation, that gift that carries us from time to eternity. I just want to read a couple of verses that came to me as our brother was preaching this word. You know, the words of Jesus are this. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. Amen." Let's turn to the Lord in closing prayer. Gracious Father, we give thanks for the word as it has been proclaimed, the gift that the power of the gospel brings to us, is that it brings our hearts to that place of knowing Jesus, of knowing this one who is able to save us to the uttermost. And so we thank you, Father, that you continue to share out of your great faithfulness your love towards us in this message of the gospel. Now we ask, Father, that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us for these services. These Reformation services have been a real blessing for this congregation, and those of you that travel to come here are a big part of that blessing to us, so we appreciate that. I think most of you know the bathroom situation with our flood that happened. There is the trailer outside, but also you didn't know the nursery bathroom, which is the first door on the right, that bathroom is also open. The downstairs bathroom and then the other upstairs bathrooms are closed, as you'll see. We'll have refreshments immediately following the service downstairs for more time of fellowship. And then we will come back again tomorrow for a 2 p.m. seminar. There'll be a meal following that and then a 6:30 service. And Sunday we'll have a service at 11 with a meal and then about a 1:30 closing service for this weekend. We're going to close with 562 before we head downstairs. Thank you.